listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 28th. It's still January in 2026. I feel like it's been years, but we're so glad to have you. Dr. Vicki Hunter, welcome. So glad to have you here with us too.
Thank you, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very glad to be here. It's the Wednesday night. Pick me up. We're going to have fun tonight.
We have fun all the time. It's a good time. Yeah. I love it. But I do want to thank those that joined us live in chat. We always love your contributions. We love hearing from you. I want to send a shout out to those that listen to us in the archives as well. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you taking the time out of your week, and we hope that we add something to your life. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that you can find at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, I know we're going to have a great chat, but always we are going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. Sorry, computer alerts are coming back up. And respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, it's going to be an interesting topic. It's going to be one that I'm going to be kind of the layman here, and that's a role that I fulfill very well, I will say that. But Dr. Vicki, I think you're going to be taking us through a discussion about what is mediumship.
Well, you know, thanks to Wendy last week for her idea to talk about, you know, something like spirits and mediumship and something. You know, we try to switch up our topics now and again, Michael. You can find out, you know, a lot of things in the IMHS, you know, TFU programs about, you know, paranormal, parapsychology and so on. But, you know, what exactly is, you know, being a medium or that mediumship? And I'm going to take you kind of like in a few tangents here, if I may.
Oh, I encourage
but the,
it.
The Google definition, all right, is a practice of acting as an intermediary to facilitate communication between living and spirits, you know. And it says often providing evidence of life after death. Well, there is no evidence. There's only testimonials, you know, and you got enough testimonials, but it's still not scientific. Now, I have to say that to qualify that whatever we think we believe, there's always room to change our minds or see it from a new angle, another angle. Does that makes sense, Michael? It's like,
oh, absolutely.
Do I believe in mediums? Absolutely. So let's just start there. Do I believe in a communication between the worlds? Absolutely. But we can't interpret everything the same way. So I think a lot of times people who, you know, pick up things from the spirit world could very well also just be telepathic. So that's kind of where I'm going to begin. And what I mean by telepathic is picking up energy or thoughts from other people. you know, because we've got more than five senses. You know, we have an auto-sensory perception. We have intuition that includes clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, you know, it's like out of the normal, including, you know, telepathy or having those other senses. And I think where some people say they sense spirits, it could be a residual energy. So to back up here, first one being telepathic. When you're sitting with somebody and you have thoughts or you get ideas, is that really a spirit entity talking to you? Is that your higher consciousness talking to you? Or is it picking up on somebody else's superconscious? Because we can do that. We can, you know, if we have cellular memories, memory is stored in so many layers. But when energy meets energy, all kinds of exchanges begin to happen. So my question would be even to myself, am I picking up on things telepathically from someone? Or is there really a spirit talking in my head? Or is this just like a higher consciousness joining up with a higher consciousness and we're bringing it into an intellectual kind of articulation that we hadn't thought of before? And so that's why I want to start there. The other is residual energy. You know, you're picking up on spirits here and there. I'm not so sure I believe spirits have that much, you know, there's that many spirits who have nothing better than the earth. I think we're picking up on that residual. Each of us leaves an imprint. You know, we can think about like a cosmic imprint in a lifetime. So we can, you walk into a building, you're feeling those energies. That could be a residual. And again, your intuitive or higher self, if you will, is connecting with that altered. So again, what is that altered? Well, each of us is more than our mental, emotional, physical being. We're spiritual beings. And, you know, we're always connected by this so-called silver thread, silver cord, whatever. And I think of it as an umbilical cord to the universe. And it opens to very many levels of consciousness or energy. So, Wendy has a question. We'll interrupt with Wendy's question. She said, if you think there's a spirit in your house, but no one has ever died there, can there be a spirit there? Yes, absolutely. Okay, so we'll talk a few experiences. But this is where I want to qualify everybody. I have come over the years to change my mind about a lot of things. Getting older has a lot to do with it. Adding to my arsenal of experience, interacting with thousands more people, and keeping an open mind. Now, even the difference between tuning into the spirit world versus alien world or other beings. So, you know, there's so many layers to this. People also, and again, this is my view, each of us has our own spirits that walk with us. I don't think any of us is alone. Now, that doesn't mean there's an actual being, but it's connected in our superconscious. So, okay, let me go here. In indigenous country, whenever you leave a place, you know, there's a whole tradition that goes with it. You thank the place for, you know, letting you be there. And, then you offer, let's say, tobacco to the ground and offering to the four corners. And you take all your spirits with you so that when you get home, you know, you're whole and you haven't left lingering energy somewhere. And, you know, when you go on a holiday, but you come back and you're really not home, oh, you can't stop thinking about your holiday because you didn't call your spirits back. You know, it's, or you're leaving work, leaving home, you go on a vacation, and, but you can't stop thinking about work. You didn't, as a whole being in a present moment, take all of your energy with you. And so, you know, in indigenous cultures, that's taking all your spirit, so all your aspects of the self and all those spirits that walk with you. And again, you may not have, let's say, a spirit called Jim or Iris or anything. It's an energetic kind of a field, so to speak, where we're attached to other consciousness. So Wendy's saying her property, hundreds of years of old trees before they built her house, and she's out in the country. So, you know, and then Donna made a comment, and there really is there a place on earth that hasn't been where somebody's died?
I mean, there's been 100 billion humans that have come and gone on the earth. But
absolutely.
You know, in this is one of those things where it, my iPad is not on silent. I'm getting a phone call. This is one of those things where I just, you know, I always have so many questions. Like, what, why would you have a spirit from the prehistory era, or, you know, 100,000 years ago that might stick around, but yet somebody who passed, you know, 100 years ago isn't, you know, how does this interact with reincarnation? You know, there's just all these different layers, and, you know, it's very, very many interesting questions that I get very excited asking.
I have those questions too. So it's like, you know, you go to England, you know, it's notorious for ghosts and castles and stuff. And why are they hanging around for hundreds of years? Perhaps that's a residual energy. And we'll get to your reincarnation in a second, Michael. Because maybe that's a residual energy, but your energy combined with that residual has things occur. Now, I'm not saying spirits don't linger, because I've met a few in my life, or they come down to visit. Historically, the theory is historically, you'd have about 100 years between incarnations. Again, theory, okay? Because we've had this, like, explosion of the population, souls are not given enough time to adjust from one incarnation to the other. So again, you know, a question of your gender or your identity in feeling out of sorts or displaced, or, you know, a lot of things can happen if you've come back too fast. So, but again, that being said, if you feel like you were just reincarnated, then how is it somebody think they channeled somebody like you, you know, still living in a castle? You know, I mean, it's, some things just don't make sense.
Yeah.
And even now, I've studied metaphysics my entire life, and these are still, you know, I can't come up with absolute answers, because it presents more questions. And that's what, you know, my late teacher said, you know, I'm not going to be here much longer, and all I want you to do is keep asking the questions that I couldn't get the answers to. Because, you know, we're going to leave with even more questions. So, but back to mediumship, we're picking up on other energy. Now, again, the energy could be residual. Energy can be from other people. It can be from, yeah, from spirits, aliens, and so on. Dr. Kevin is asking, does residual energy have a consciousness? Again, how do we define consciousness? It's an energy that relates to our consciousness, if that makes sense. It's like buying an antique. You know, you've got a really old rocking chair, and you sit in it, you say, oh yeah, I don't like this rocking chair. It's got a residual energy. Mm-hmm. And some people can go and sit in that rocking chair and feel quite fine, because they resonate with that energy. But is that chair conscious? No.
Mm-hmm.
But it has an energy. So it's, you know, in a place I lived in recently in the basement, people died down there. And anybody who went there either gets sick, their relationships break out, somebody else dies. It has a residual energy. Now, I happened to be there not long ago, and the whole place now is taken over because I knew how to keep the energy upstairs cool. You know? It's, again, but we're working with just energy. Howard's asking, my non-family experience with my neighbor's dead husband asking me to tell her that he liked her new haircut. For the record, I don't pay attention to her hair. She was very flattered that it was noticed because she had just barely had it cut. And that's the kind of thing, Howard. I mean, you don't have to go around doing everything that spirits ask, but that's a nice thing. But that came into your consciousness. Now, I would absolutely say that a spiritual energy spoke to you because it was out of nowhere. You know, it's not like you were in her presence to notice the haircut, feeling her late husband and say, oh, I like your haircut. So that's how you kind of have to sort it through, sort through what kind of energy is at work.
Right. There's a sweetness to that, too, the idea that even after he passes, he wants to say that little nice thing because he knows it's going to make her feel good. You know, when we talk about spirits and things like that, you know, again, it's something that I'm not particularly, you know, I don't have that kind of awareness, but it's always fascinated me. But, you know, there is something I will say that's positive is that, you know, there's those good elements of humanity, those good elements, good parts of us, you know, go on after this life and kind of speak from beyond that grave. It kind of speaks to some of the better parts of human character here in stories like that. So thanks for sharing that, Dr. Howard.
Yeah, Wendy's mentioning, I don't know how factual it is, but how factual it can be, but I feel like my house has a lot of animal spirits. And she's been there 21 years and sees them often. It's possible. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just told somebody a week ago, I went to have a nap in the afternoon. I could have sworn my cat jumped on the bed and laid down on the bed. You know, when you can feel them kneading kind of at the covers. And, you know, I finally kind of opened my eyes, looked down, and she wasn't there. So it's like, oh, I got a spirit cat in the house. And that spirit cat was here for a couple of days, and my cat would not come in the bedroom, which was really unusual. And suddenly my cat's coming in the bedroom. I saw the spirit cat left. Now, I don't know what that was, except I'm just observing that I'm laying on the bed and I can feel movement on my bed like a cat kneading. I feel them kind of curling in behind my legs and there's nobody there, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I've had those experiences. I think that, again, we could go into many philosophies. Buddhists believe that we can reincarnate into any kind of animal form. My late teacher, Frank, would say he doesn't believe that. He believes every animal species has its own frequency of energy. And it's like all the four-leggeds have four-legged energy. The winged ones have winged energy. And so it's kind of, you know, we come back as people in that way. So do I have an answer that I can say absolutely no? I'm just telling you that there's many ways to look at this.
Yeah.
And I don't have an answer for that. But, you know, do animals hang around? Sure. Or maybe it's we're tuning into that residual energy, Wendy. So can the animal spirits be there? I believe so. But you live in a place where, you know, it's in the country. There's always been a lot of animals. Could have been dinosaurs for all you know. And picking up on the residual. So that kind of psychic imprint that they left on the land. So, and I don't think it matters because you're tuned into that. And as long as you're comfortable, then it doesn't matter what it is, in a way. You don't have to have an answer, I guess, is what I'm saying. Michael, well, you were going to say something.
Oh, I'm going to say lots of things every now and again. I don't know where I was going. Right now I'm trying to get my cat to stop meowing in the background. Maybe she's seen some, maybe she's spirits. She's just going on and on. Meowing me, I tell you. But
maybe you've got spirits in your house.
Maybe. Or maybe she wants me to let her in the guest room so she can go in the closet and curl up. But man, jeez. Nope. I know you can't hear it because the chat that we use has great noise canceling, but people that are actually listening live, they get the raw feed of my mic, so they hear all the little things out there. So I appreciate your grace. No, it's just an interesting thing, and it's interesting how, you know, different people, how they come to these questions about life and existence, how we can all feel there's something a little more, a little bit different, you know, on the periphery of our awareness. You know, we can always feel that there's more to this existence than what we can just see. You know, there's deeper things to life, right? We can all feel that. And in the ways in which we kind of approach those questions and try to answer them, I think it's also fascinating what that reveals about the individual, right?
Well, I know I can tell you that I absolutely believe something today, but talk to me next week, Michael, and I could have something to add to that or change my mind.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of us having an open mind.
Oh, absolutely. I think that you have to be able to change your mind. I think you have to be able to, you know, when new information comes in, you fine-tune things. Like, education is a lifelong process. And, you know, it's that continual learning kind of thing.
You know, I'll share with you, of course, my imaginary friends never went away. And I had little voices talking in my head a lot of time when I was a kid. But the first time that I really channeled like a medium was with a friend, and I was 19. And her late husband, she was 10 years older than I was at the time. Her late husband, and all I can say is I moved over, if that makes sense, almost observing myself but still connected. He started talking to her through me, saying things that nobody else knew, Michael. Like, she was sitting there, her eyes were wide, and I'm talking to her, apologizing to her, talking about their history, you know, some things that had happened. And then, whoa, I was exhausted, and I can feel this swoosh in my body. And I went, and I could remember some of it, but I was so surprised by the magnitude of what had just happened that I kind of tossed a lot of what I said out the window. She said, how did you know that? And I said, I didn't. He did. His name was George, by the way. I remember that. And, but I had to have a talk with myself and my spirits at that point. And I said, oh no, that'll never happen again. Oh no, no, no. I'm too much of a control freak, Michael. I think I've talked about this in past programs, but I need to know what's going on for my own growth. I'm happy to move over a bit, but you cannot have my body. No, that's just not going to happen again.
Yeah.
You can talk to me. I'll share and I'll do my best to listen and to listen as accurately as I can in whatever language that I don't know. Which has happened a few times, by the way.
I was going to ask that too. You know, I was thinking about that earlier, the language barrier and how that might kind of come across. Like, because I'm thinking that, you know, I mean, you go back even, how many people have a hard time reading Shakespearean English, right?
Yeah.
And that came after a period of rapid change. You go back 1,000 years to England, and people that are speaking Middle English, you cannot understand them. Language changes fast. And, you know, it's just interesting how I would think that maybe it's like I was going to say, I think it's the emotional intent that might come through sometimes. Go ahead.
Well, as an example, I was visiting my spirit sister, and she's in a body. I'm part of an adopted Nahiwa family in the Rocky Mountains. And I'm up there. And we had gone by the river, sitting out in a place, and I suddenly felt this woman, and I said, uh-oh. And I, you know, for a long time, I'd always carry a pen and paper around with me. you know, in my purse or something. So I grabbed my bag and I started, I don't speak Cree. So I said, she's talking to me and saying this, but I said, I don't understand. Can you spell some of that? So, you know, anglicized version of these Cree words.
Right.
And Merlin, my sister, said, oh, I know what she's saying. Like, I had no idea what she was saying. I said, I'm just getting this all in Cree. Now, being careful, there's the old Cree, lending to what you're saying, Michael. You know, the old Cree versus the newer Cree. You know, it's like because the language evolved.
Yeah.
And very few people speak the old Cree now. So if I would say a word, she knows it very well. She's a translator in the lodges too. So she said, no, that's old Cree. I said, well, she's a very old grandmother and passing the message. Now, because I am a control freak, I like to think I'm better than this, right? But no, I can't say those words. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to embarrass myself, you know, and I have to let it go. And that's the hardest thing about mediumship is to let it go, that it's not about you. It's about being the best translator as you can be. Now, there's other folks who claim to be full channels, like the George experience I had. They're in there. And I think some of the things is so generic that they talk about. It's, you know, they're philosophizing and like, for instance, like Bashar, which I'm not keen on. It's, you know, you have to take some of it. There was one back in the 70s. She's apparently still around. Oh, I can't think of her name off the top of my head. But I, you know, I would listen to her tapes. I'd see her around. And then one day I heard that she'd made this comment about being gay is unnatural. And I went, oh, she's a fraud. You know? Like, so you have to be careful when you're listening to these people because they're combining their own interpretations, their own biases, their own philosophies into the messages that, you know, they think they're hearing. And so that's what's so delicate about this is who's translating what for whom and how. And so I'm always suspicious. I'm a little bit of a cynic, and it, coming from me, I know that might sound kind of weird because I'm the first one that wants to believe. But you know, it's I can detect, you know, when it's kind of not on the up and up because they're not being really clear, and it's like a reader. You know, I'd have to debrief one reader where I used to live. Well, people would come to me and I do a reading for them and, oh, well, this other reader said, and I said, oh, I know who you're talking about. Cause she was so prejudiced against men. She'd always scare women about men. She wouldn't read for men. It was like, oh man, her biases were incredibly way over there. And, so it's, you know, you have to be careful. So mediumship is being able to, connect, you know, in this mid world. And, again, there's many mid worlds, I think, depending on what frequencies. And, you know, then we can open up to a whole conversation on quantum physics, but we won't go there tonight. So it's, a caution, everybody, to, you know, think, oh, they're channeling spirits. I can, because of my own experience, and because I have somewhat of a pragmatic mind, it's I can detect when something is more residual in or telepathic or really psychic. And there's a young guy in Hollywood. Oh, gee, I'm so bad with names and stuff, Michael. He's really good. This young kid. And when I say he's really good, because I did some checking on him, and, you know, he goes and does readings for all the celebrities kind of thing. So he got smart. At least he's going where the money is. But I found out, too, he has to go home and sleep for 2 or 3 hours. Hmm. And I went, yeah, he's for real. They did brain testing on him. They put all these, you know, stickers on his head and did his brain wave readings. I know we've talked about that in the past program, too. I've mentioned it. But his readings actually go off the scale and show different parts of his brain had that different activity when he was actually channeling in a reading. And so I think he's one of the more credible. I think when people take to the stage, there may be an element of truth to it, and I'm not disputing that. But there's a lot of guessing as well. You can't stand up there for 2 hours tuning into all these many people and not get a hit or two or 10. You know, oh, I sense there's a Grace in the audience. There's Grace Spirit. Oh, is there a Lucy here? Now, there's bound to be a Lucy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's that caution of, be sensible about it. But, it's fun. I had a client the other day, and she said, I don't know how you know this. I said, it's not me. I just listen. Because it's not me. I don't know anything. I just listen. It's an old elder said that, a few of us who walk with a thin veil between the worlds. So I just listen. So you can listen to what's going on out there. You can hear conversations across the street if you tune in. You know, it's like to let your guards down, and be open. So it's I hope that, answers some questions. Audra says, keep your mind open, but don't let your brain fall out. Mm. Exactly. That's funny.
Wise advice. Be open to possibilities. I have this saying, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It kind of sounds a little harsher, I don't really think about it, than I really want it to be, but most people are wrong about most things most of the time. And that includes myself. Like, I'm not trying to say that I am most people. I'm probably wrong about a bunch of stuff, but it's a way of saying that, just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's true. But it goes that way. It's kind of my own thing that I say to myself that it basically means to me, keep an open mind. Don't assume you're right about everything, and don't assume just because somebody says something it's true. That's kind of what it comes back to me on. But that also means, by definition, this phrase would also mean that a lot of skeptics are wrong about things they're skeptical of, right? I mean, it's just that's stats, that's probability, that's reality. We're gonna be right about things, we're gonna be wrong, and we fine tune. The more we find out, the more we learn. You talked about how you change your mind, based on new information. That's what you do, So it's okay to be wrong. We're all wrong about things all the time, and it's just something we got to learn from. It's something we move on from, and you get, like you talked about, when people are doing big showy things, I'm with you. I'm going to be a little more skeptical, but, some people can hit it. Keep an open mind out there. Don't think you know everything. And also, like Audra says, keep your mind open. Don't let your brain fall out. But this is a great conversation.
It is. I would like to share Dr. Kevin's story quickly in the chat. It's been 16 years since his cat passed, and she was 20 years old, and he swears he can still hear her at times. I totally get it. It just reminded me of a story. My late teacher, Magda, her best friend, we stayed in touch. Magda died in 1979, and it was probably around 2010 when I went to visit her friend Alice, who was still alive at that time. She's gone now, bless her heart. But I'd gone to visit her, go in, into her really nice, townhouse condo. And there was a cat sitting right inside the door. Mm-hmm. So she brings me in, we pour some tea, she's got a couple of cakes there. And I said, what happened to the cat? Where'd the cat go? She said, oh, you saw her. I said, yeah, she was there at the door when I came in. Yeah, she only visits sometimes. I said, no, she was like, as clear as you're sitting in front of me, she was at the door. She said, yeah, she's like that. She's been gone quite a number of years in the spirit world, but she still keeps me company from time to time. You know, Alice was like that. A very Romanian woman, really dark eyes, you know, tall. And she was, her family came from a line of gypsies. You know, I've been so blessed to meet such extraordinary, cool people in my life. And, you know, it's, it just takes you on this journey. I know we've all met cool people, but, you know, it's, in the world of metaphysics, you certainly do meet some interesting ones.
Yeah. You know, and there's a good reason for that. We're running late on everything, I know, but, I'll say my piece on this that, yeah, a lot of times people are going to be more open to ideas outside the mainstream are going to be a little different than the mainstream. Yeah. It kind of goes hand in hand. But, you know, that also is where growth comes from, right? Nothing. If nothing changes, then nothing changes. And if nothing changes, then that's stagnant. That's where everything kind of grinds to a halt. No, change is needed, and we all have to keep moving forward. But
We've got some cards to pick, Michael.
We do, but before we get into cards, I'm just going to throw a shout out, and I'll touch base on it at the end as a reminder too. But I just wanted to throw a quick shout out that we're going to have Dr. Kelly joining us again, Dr. Doug Kelly joining us again next week for that first Wednesday of the month. Topic of the two faces of entitlement. So wanted to throw that out there real quick.
That's a good one.
But you are right; we do have some cards. So let me go back to my list. I got them written down here.
I do, too. I think I got them. Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card backed up with the tarot, and we'll see what we got for people. There's a little message there.
That's right. That's right. And I have Donna up first. And Donna, for you, I have you a wild card. Wild card number one, paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. And thus, new perspectives are discovered.
Well, this is very interesting because I got the Page of Pentacles. Now, pages are communicators, as we know, a bridge between the minor and major arcana. And pentacles, being a physicality, monetary, that kind of thing. So I like paradox. It's frustrating, but I like it in that things may not always be as they seem. You got to see it from another side. So this might have to do with finances. Kind of one of those situations. I'm not saying this is it, Donna, but it's kind of like, you know, if somebody gets laid off from work, they're all bummed out, but it's really the best thing that ever happened to them. You know, that's like the paradox. And so this has to do with money. So you might be sweating it about money, but there's something on the other side of it. There's an experience through that. Or you get a sum of money, you think that's great, but there's another side of it. So this has to do with communications regarding finances. And again, it doesn't have to be monetary. It could be in physical things, you know, things that we think are important to us, but maybe they're not. So it's seeing the equal and opposite of something. I hope that makes sense in your world somehow. We have Dr. Howard next.
Dr. Howard, always happy to have you. Tonight I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
You know, that King of Clubs is someone who has reached a certain level of comfort and satisfaction with himself, of achievement in his own right. and who's able to share that wisdom. So sometimes paying it forward doesn't have to be a physical thing. It can be something of wisdom. It can be something of sharing experience. And that's what I think is happening in some sense here, Howard, where you're able to pass on what you know to others. And they benefit from that experience. So somebody might be coming to you for advice or in a situation where you can say, hey, you know, I kind of know a little bit about that. So you're able to pay it forward. I think we have Katie next.
All right, Katie, I have for you number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of... Give me one second. I got off track here for a second. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. Hope that connects. I paused only because I had a vague feeling like, did I just read this? But no, it's very similar to the idea of pay it forward. But I digress.
So I got the Ace of Diamonds for you, Katie. I feel like in a pinch something is coming to you. And feeling the gratitude for that because it might come in the nick of time. So, I'm going to go with that, Michael. It's like, you might get a bit of money or a bit of extra help or something in a pinch. Like, right when you think you're most worried about it, something really cool happens. So, I want to say stay positive, keep your head up, and, don't sweat it. You know, put it to the universe. The universe is taking care of it.
So. I like it.
Kevin.
Dr. Kevin, always glad to have you. I have number 25 tonight, Power of Belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
Well, I got the 10 of Spades, which is usually loss, grief. You know, it's a sorrow in a way. Now, so I had to pull another one, Kevin, and say, what's that about? In this case, that power of belief, you're being asked to rise up. The Emperor is there. So when you have that Ten of Spades, the Emperor, it's you're the one being asked to be strong, rise above, and just know that we all serve our own purpose at our own times. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're called into action, that's what you do. And even though you may not have time to deal with your own emotion, your own feelings, that time will come for you. It's like, know where you're needed, when you're needed, and just know that there's a macro thing going on. So, just believe in that and everything will be okay. I hope that makes sense. Audra, what do you got for Audra, Michael?
Audra. I have another wild card for you. It is wild card number 9, blank. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It's what you need it to be, and it's all that you desire it to be. Remember, the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, but in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Well, that Page of Clubs, again, the communicator, but this is one of changes, one of the shifts and, you know, sorting things out, blank. I think what this is asking of you is how you present it will determine the outcome. So finding those right words, the right tone, the basic presentation, Audra, and it'll go in your favor. So it's kind of, it's not yet written, in other words. So it's not an inevitable, it's just how you present it will determine the ride. So, and I get that sense more about work than I do anything more than your own life. So, but you got this. You know what you're doing. Now we have our card keeper, Wendy.
Wendy, for you tonight, I think this is our last card, but for you tonight, I have past, present, and future. I don't know that we pulled this one in a while.
No.
The three universal laws of personal responsibility are: 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, I had to pull 2 because the 5 of clubs is just telling me something about a stress, dissension, but it's kind of over. But I thought, well, something, feels like there's still something missing, past, present, future. So that 5 of Wands, along with the Death card, there's a rebirthing process happening, Wendy, a motivational rebirthing. It's like, okay, you had that phase, you came to, you know, that point, now there's a new point coming. So it's like things are happening in stages and phases. So there's a rebirthing. What comes to me too is there might be an old idea that you now want to incorporate in some way. So you can, again, something from the past you can now take into the future along with all the other ideas and energies you've got going on. So I think that's pretty cool myself. So, it feels positive. You always have to go by how it feels.
You gotta go with it. You gotta go with it.
Yeah. So I think that's all the cards we have for tonight. I know Jeff messaged me earlier. We all know about the blind outdoorsman, mm-hmm. Our Dr. Jeff. I have to say he is, he's wished his wife Shauna, who is a nurse in Minneapolis at one of the hospitals, and tonight he is, at the vigil with Shauna for Freddy. And I know I had a visit with Jeff the other day. It's a little stressful. But I had to do a shout out that, and I think I can speak on behalf of everyone here at IMHS, Dr. Kelly, Tracy, Michael, you know, other instructors, mm-hmm. and myself, that our hearts are with everyone right now. And for everyone, and not just in the U.S., but throughout the world, who is experiencing loss and devastation, that there are loads of us sending good energy to you. And as devastating as a lot of things can be, there is a dark side of humanity, but I totally believe in hopefulness and that there's a rising of our spirit throughout these dark times. So a shout out to Wendy and Shauna, especially, you know, they're our family, Michael. So
yeah,
got to say it.
No, we do. We do. So, and it's important to keep those, you know, that are in need in our thoughts and our minds, and to not be willfully ignorant. So it's important that we at least acknowledge it, that we not look away, and that we just see things. And we also, you know, we want happiness for everybody. Yeah, we want you to support. Yeah, we want you to know we're there for you. Your thoughts are with us. You're not forgotten. And also, we're going to get through this. You know, we will.
You know, we are. I am absolutely loving watching the Walk for Peace and the monks going to DC and getting to know more about who they are and their story, mm-hmm. and how much they touch people. And again, I probably said it before. I'm going to say this again. There was a video I watched. A woman did a voiceover and said, they bring tears to everyone. They remind us of the peace we'd forgotten exists in ourselves. And that's their message. Pure as simple is peace. If we each have peace in ourselves and never let go of that. So at the end of the program, when I say don't let them push you around out there, don't let them take your peace away. Be a warrior when you need to. Be a warrior when you need to. You know, we all know what to do in the face of whatever as best as possible, but don't let them push you around. They can't have your spirit.
Well said. Well said. Well, you know, it has been a very interesting discussion. It's been fascinating. I always love getting into this. It's, you know, it's one of those things that I'm blind to. So I like to see to hear about these perspectives and to hear about these ideas. You know, it's always been fascinating, and I appreciate you taking the time to really walk us through it. And as always, I appreciate you. So, yeah, thank you so much for everything that you bring to this, Dr. Vicky. Just want to throw you a shout out too.
Thanks, Michael, and you too.
Thank you.
You know, Kevin said, and thanks for the feedback, Kevin. He said we have peace for at least 1 hour a week, and this is our little sanctuary, everybody. You know, and we better remind ourselves of who we are. But we like to explore. We like to have some laughs. You know, we like to have a little reprieve from some of the harsher realities of life. You know, life is suffering. Michael and I talked about that before the program, and you know, being human is not an easy road. And mind you, I'm sure that, you know, wolves and chickens say that too.
To exist is not an easy thing, but it's also a beautiful thing. There is a duality of existence. So you have to understand that the bad will pass. The good is always there. Take things as they come, because in this moment, right now, this is the life to live. This is the only life. Whatever comes after will come after. What came before, but in this moment, we have just the here and now, so appreciate it for everything it's worth, and, you know, I can't wait to see everybody in the chat next week. I can't wait to get Dr. Kelly on here and have that discussion, but it is that time of the night, so as we sign off, I think we kind of already touched on it, but any last word you want to leave us with?
Don't let them push you around.
There you go. Well, thank you, everybody. Can't wait till next week, and until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.